Thank you for being here tonight. We often struggle with frustrations in our life. The scripture says the little foxes spoil the vines. Sometimes there can be some big foxes, right? But most of us, from time to time, will struggle with just being frustrated. And I just felt led to teach on this tonight. And in case there might actually be someone here that occasionally you might get frustrated about something. So maybe I'm not aiming wrongly tonight. If nothing else, I'm going to listen myself. Help, I'm frustrated. First, let me share a little story I heard about some leaders of Starbucks going to visit the Vatican and meeting with the Pope. This is anecdotal. It's not true. So they're meeting with the Pope, and they got him off to the side, and one of them said, well, Your Holiness, we've got an offer we want to make to you. We are willing to donate $100 million to the church if you can change the Lord's Prayer from "give us our daily bread" to "give us our daily coffee." And he said, "Impossible. This is the word of the Lord. We can't change that." And so they came back and said, "Well, I'll tell you what, we'll be willing to give you $300 million if you can change it from "give us our daily bread" to "give us our daily coffee." "No, impossible. It's the word of the Lord. We can't change that." So one of the guys said, "We have one final offer, and this is, surely you can't say no to this. We're willing to give you $500 million. That's a half a billion bucks. And all you have to do is just change the Lord's Prayer from "give us our daily bread" to "give us our daily coffee." The next day, the Pope calls the College of Cardinals together and says, "I have some good news and some bad news. The good news is we're going to be receiving a $500 million donation for the church." One of the cardinals asked, "Well, Your Holiness, what's the bad news?" "We're losing the Wonder Bread account." You'll catch that today after tomorrow. Well, of course, I wasn't serious about that, but aren't you glad that God's Word doesn't change, no matter what someone may say about it? That it is established forever in the heavens. But I tell you what, sometimes the frustrations of life can come along and make you doubt that God's Word works. Make you doubt that it can be trusted. So we don't want that to happen, do we? We all have to deal with frustrations, but if you do not learn how to deal with the frustrations in your life in the right way, biblically, you may end up living a frustrated life. That's a different scenario. You may have to deal with frustration, but if you don't deal with it rightly, you may end up living a frustrated life. And that's no way to live your life. You weren't created to live a frustrated life. You may have to deal with them, but you don't have to be buried by them. You don't have to be conformed to them. You don't have to be sub of life. I want to drop into the Word, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In that chapter, Paul has a lot of wonderful things to say about Christ and how His light shines in our life and how we're light in darkness. But in the middle of that, he gives some testimony. And I just want to lift a couple of verses out and read them for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I'm going to read verses 7, 8, and 9. And he's testifying here, Paul is. He says, "But we," that is he and his team, believers, "but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." You see, there's something we have that's beyond the natural man. Beyond this body that's still subject to death. The body of this death, as it's called in some places. He says this, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Here Paul gives us these contrasting testimonies. He's acknowledging we are hard pressed on every side. That was true. That word hard pressed here on every side, that phrase in the original Greek language, it's the picture of being in a constricted place. It's like circumstances are coming this way, circumstances are coming this way, and you're caught there and you're being pressed in those circumstances, held by those circumstances. The same idea is used about narrow is the way of salvation. But here the narrowness is in the sense of you're hemmed in by the difficulties and the frustrations and so forth in life. He says that we're hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. We have to deal with these things, but these things do not crush us. I love the way he phrases all this. He says, we are perplexed. That's the picture of what in the world's going on? I'm not able to put this together. There may be times when really the idea of is trying to push you into a place of doubt and unbelief. Your math's not adding up. I'm 2 and 2's not getting 4 here. I don't understand what's happening. You ever been in that place? He says that we may be perplexed, yet, but we're not in despair. Not in despair. I don't know if you've ever seen Anne of Green Gables, the old version. Awesome. That's back in the VHS days, you know, videotapes and little redheaded Anne Shirley, you know, and she's pitching one of her dramatic fits, as she often did, and she takes off upstairs, and her aunt, you know, she or Marilla Cuthbert, she and her brother have taken her in as an orphan. And Marilla Cuthbert, she's taken off, and Anne Shirley throws her hands in the air, the little girl does. She says, oh, I'm in the depths of despair. If you could, you know, she's very dramatic. And Marilla Cuthbert said, child, to despair is to turn your back on God. And that's the idea here. We may be perplexed. We may not be able to figure out what's going on, how this fits together. But we're not turning our back on God. We're not going to get in despair. We trust Him when we don't understand what's going on. We trust Him when our math doesn't add up. We trust Him when it doesn't look like the prayer is being answered. The breakthrough's coming. We still trust Him. We're not going to turn our back on God. We may be pressed in on every side, but we're not crushed by it. We may not be able to figure out what's going on, but we're not going to turn our back on God in despair. He goes on to say, persecuted, this is the word philipsis in the Greek that talks about tribulation and persecution. And their lives were put on the line over and over again. He said, persecuted, but not forsaken. You know, when you're being persecuted, the temptation is to feel so alone. Think of the thousands of Christians right now that are imprisoned around the world. Why? Because they confess Christ in a nation where it's illegal to do so. Because they're in circumstances where their faith has landed them in prison. Renounce Christ or prison? Prison, please. And there they are. And some are being tortured. And they're separated from their families. And they're clinging to the claims of Christ. But they know they're not forsaken. You know why? Because faithful is He who has promised. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And then Paul goes on to say, struck down. That's a very, very violent term. Struck down, but not destroyed. struck down but not destroyed. So these testimonies are, here's the facts. We're pressed in on every side. We're perplexed. We're persecuted. We're struck down. But we're not crushed. We're not turning away from God. We're not alone. And we're not destroyed. So that's his testimony here. Yes, Paul knew what it was like to deal with the frustrations in life. And honestly, when you think about what some people are going through, some of the things that, let me testify. Some of the things that I get frustrated about are nothing compared to what others have to go through. But that doesn't mean it's still not a frustration that you have to deal with, right? And so we need to, enough word in us to be able to Barney Fife it and nip it in the bud, right? So let's talk about that a little bit. It's important for us to understand. I did look up the word frustration in our English language, and it's the idea of discouragement. It's the idea of being exasperated, to be annoyed by things that are going on around us. And here are some of the synonyms: exasperation, annoyance, anger, vexation, irritation, bitterness, resentment, disappointment, discouragement, disheartenment, dispiritedness, depression, a lot of D words, dissatisfaction, discontentment, and I would add flustered, flabbergasted, fit to be tied. You know, when you, like your socks are tangled, and we would say here in the South, your doors are in a wad. You know, y'all uptight. Get irritated. Frustrated. And sometimes the least little fly can... I know I put some word pictures in your mind, didn't I? The least irritations can fester into a major problem. The enemy specializes in magnifying those irritations until they become bridges to disaster in our lives. He specializes in that. He loves to have what he does magnified. We see this all through the Bible. They're giants. We're grasshoppers. What's that mean? The enemy, through what he was doing, projected himself as much larger than the God whom they served. And two guys, Joshua and Caleb, knew the truth. We are well able to take them, because they were seen not through natural eyes, but through the eyes of faith. And that's how we're to live. The just shall live by faith. We're not moved by what our natural eyes see. We're to be moved by what the Word of God says. And so the enemy wants to magnify these irritations and frustrations and get us into a place. And let's pop the hood a little bit. What are some of the symptoms that kind of identify when maybe we're being frustrated or dealing with frustration? When we feel hard-pressed or we feel like we're being hemmed in and it's getting a little out of hand. Well, one sign is that we can become very selfish, very ungrateful, angry, begin blaming. You can become depressed. And a thing that can be happen when you have one frustration is you'll find yourself dredging up other things that frustrate you. So you just build a smorgasbord of all the life's frustrations. And again, your focus is shifted away from what it needs to be, that is Christ, who is our life, the Word of God on which we stand, the Holy Spirit who can empower us to live in victory, and we start collecting our frustrations, and they build up. They can cause our heart to become hard. They can cause us to not see what we should obviously see. They can cause us to become uncaring for others, lose sight of what our priorities and what is important, and that's where you start getting into depression with those things. Overwhelmed under the circumstances. You see, overcomers can't live under the circumstances. By His blood we overcome, as we've been studying on Sunday. So it's important we begin to learn to identify those triggers. That's like one of the first steps, is recognizing when a frustration is beginning to blur your vision and to trip up your faith, and you begin to respond in flesh and lose sight of God's grace that's available. And sometimes we can bring it on ourselves by all these, sometimes the expectations, they're just unreal that people put on themselves. The demands that you can put on yourself are unmet expectations. The demands you're putting on someone else, you don't feel like they're being met, and you become frustrated. We can become frustrated with ourselves and project that on others. We can become frustrated at others, and that kind of take over our interior, internal world, our soul, and we become obsessed with something that's far, far below our priorities. We have to learn to die to ourselves. There's a lot of things we have to learn to die to. A lot of things that capture our attention and sap the strength that we have to live each day won't matter week after next. Certainly won't matter in 6 months. And if that doesn't work for you, just think on the 100-year plan. Is it going to matter in 100 years? What will matter in 100 years? What will matter? What will matter next year? You know, are we willing to sacrifice our marriage over something that's not going to matter the week after next because we're selfish or stubborn or unwilling to listen or unwilling to meet in the middle and talk things out? But see, that's where the little foxes, the frustrations can build up and get us to a place where something little can cause something really big. Now, believe it or not, Mickey and I, we've had some spats. Yeah, I know you believe that. But have you ever had one of those spats, and then, like, 3 hours later, you're still struggling with distance, but you don't even remember what it's about? What's that say about us? You know. So it's just really, really important that we learned how to do with these. Let me share three things that you can do to help you win the fight against frustration. Here's the first one. I want to encourage you, gang up on it with gratitude until the frustration is gone. Gang up on it with gratitude until the frustration is gone. Let me give you a scripture. You can jot this down. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. This verse tells us we should not allow frustration or any other trial to get the better of us. And how many times have we heard it? You know, things can make you bitter or things can make you better. The same is true about the little, big, and medium-sized frustrations that we have to deal with. Consider it pure joy. If we have the right perspective, it can turn things around. Now, it just so happened that early this morning, I was working on this message. I had my graphic done. I'm working on getting my passages together and kind of putting some form to what I wanted to teach tonight. And Mickey was needing to use the printer. Well, the printer ran out of ink. Okay? So I canceled a document to keep all those pages from running through. You know, I just can't. And, you know, I knew better. I don't know how many times I've had that happen. A lot of times if you cancel the printing of a document midway, it just creates a lot of problems. So I ended up working over an hour trying to get the printer going because we didn't have a new print cartridge to put in. And so I found one. I did find one, and I put it in and worked on it. But then the brand new ink cartridge, because I pulled the little tape thing off of it, you know, when it's new, put it in there, and it printed, but every other line was you could just read half the line. So I had to take that out. I rebooted the printer. I had to, with all the programs I had up on the computer, I had to get out of all those, restart the computer. That still didn't do it. Then I unplugged the cord from the printer, unplugged it from the wall, went through all of that, and worked on it. Then I realized with printer it wasn't working. Then I finally realized, well, I'm trying to get it print, and there's no paper in it now. So what I thought was the problem wasn't even the problem. So I got paper in it. Then it went back to, well, it still wouldn't print right. And so anyway, how can I say it? I'm working on a message about dealing with frustration. And I'm going to confess, okay? Briefly, Mickey had left the room. I mean, an hour. And I had a certain amount of time this morning before I was going to be talking about the thing. Like, and an hour's gone. And I saw myself pulling the cord out of the wall, taking that printer. I mean, seriously considered it briefly. I was going to take that printer. I was going to go on the back porch. And I found such a gleeful joy in just slamming it against the concrete and watching it just go into 1,000 pieces. That there was something down on the inside of me that wanted to do that. It wasn't Holy Spirit. You know, it's pure Eddie. I really loved it. Then I thought, well, then I got to go get a printer. And then, you know. So I sat there and I saw this graphic that I had that I got back up. And I said, Lord, you know, if it can't work for something like this, I don't need to try to export it to other people. And I just started saying, Lord, forgive me. I'm so grateful that I've got a computer and a printer. I would have to sit and write all this out longhand. And Lord, if I wasn't living in the day that I'm living, I mean, back in Bible days, I'd have to go cut down some reeds by the river and pulverize them and crush it and make me some papyrus script and then get a quill and find some, you know, get some ink out of an octopus somewhere and, you know, how blessed I am. You know, how many hundreds and hundreds of times in the last year have I sat down and I printed stuff up and I've hit print and it just spits it out. Boom, 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 boom. And not only that, if I'm halfway through and I can just jot stuff down and put it in a file, and if the power goes up, I can retrieve it and bring it all. It's just amazing. How blessed I am. Got electricity in this house. I got a nice seat to sit in. I just started thanking God for all the times that I've used my printer that it worked right and all the ways that I don't have to get up and go down to Office Depot and get this ran off. You know, I could just boom, boom, boom. How blessed I am. And the next thing I knew is I know my blood pressure must have gone down, but that peace came back. Like, this is nothing. You know what I did? I just went back to working on my message. And I said, you know, when I go to church, I'm going to go by Walmart and get a new printer cartridge. And I did. And when I went back after lunch and I plugged it in, and it worked just fine. But, you know, it was a little bump, speed bump I had to work through. But sometimes it's big stuff. But it's the same thing works. Gang up. Count it joy. If the enemy's trying to use it to get you not listening to the Holy Spirit, do a 180 on him. And the devil didn't even have to be around. My flesh was handling it just fine without his help. But do a 180. Turn that thing around. The thing that's frustrating me, there's got to be a thousand ways I can give God's thanks that this frustration is reminding me of, if I'll just allow it to be that kind of voice instead of a voice to get me to turn away from the Holy Spirit. Gang up on your frustrations with gratitude until it's gone. I'm telling you, it works. That might be why Paul and Silas, when they got thrown in prison, they decided, we're just going to praise the Lord for a while. Just so happened, an earthquake came, the chains fell off. They praised themselves right out of that problem. It works for us. You can, with the power of gratitude, you can rise up above the circumstances. Well, you don't know my circumstances. Well, if you know them, at least that means your mind's still working. Your brain's functioning. You're breathing. Look for what you can thank God for it. You may not be able to thank God for everything, but you can thank Him in the middle of whatever's going on. There, you can find something you can thank Him for. And so, put that in your toolbox and use it the next time you start feeling frustrated, irritated, or aggravated about something. It certainly gets your lips speaking life instead of death. It helps your heart be protected by peace instead of intruded by confusion and chaos. It's going to help your physical body by keeping your blood pressure in a safe zone. And by nipping it in the bud with that gratitude, you're back to where you need to be. Thank you, preacher. That helps me. Okay. All right. Thank you. I'm not going to get frustrated at you for not. Number two. Let me move right along. Press in on it with prayer and wait for the peace to come. Scripture, Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God which transcends, rises above all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I'm going to hit that verse a few times every year from this pulpit because it's so powerful. Simply saying, by using prayer, you can press into a place when you're frustrated, and you press in and begin praying it, and He tells us, don't be anxious about anything, but instead of being anxious, in everything by prayer, supplication, and petition. We went over all this in the series I did on prayer earlier this year. But by praying, you start praying and pressing into that. We all know when we're getting frustrated. Upset, not why am I irritated? Again, it's in when you begin praying, the Holy Spirit will let you remember. He'll show you what you need to deal with. And a lot of times it involves repentance, confession, forgiveness, and then the peace returns. I mean, have you ever been just irritated and you didn't know why you were cranky? You know? Like the lady who was at the doctor and she was kind of being short with him, and he said, well, ma'am, did you wake up grumpy this morning? She said, no, I just let him sleep. But sometimes you may just wake up grumpy. You don't even know why. And there'd be a thousand different reasons. There might be some very common sense reasons you're grumpy. Maybe you didn't sleep but an hour and a half. But you need to realize, you know what? I'm probably not going to respond right if I don't, you know, I didn't sleep much. But just be aware and ask the Holy Spirit to help you. You can pray and He will answer. And this says that there's a peace that will come Guard your heart. Keep it in the right place. Guard your mind. Keep it in the right place. Peace serves as a guard, like a soldier, watching the gateway of your heart and your mind, not allowing in those things that move you into chaos and distraction and confusion and sin. So pray and press in until the peace comes when you're frustrated. Press in on it with prayer and wait for the peace to come. And you'll see the frustration begin to fade away. And the Proverbs 14:29 says, a patient person has great understanding, but a quick-tempered one displays folly. One thing about frustration is, at its core, a lot of times, is we can't control something that's happening. Well, let's get a revelation tonight. We might be amazed at how much we can't control. How little control we really do have. But I'm telling you, we have direct access of the God of this universe who knows everything that's going on and can do something about it. But a lot of times we start getting angry and frustrated when there's things happening we can't control. Maybe it's somebody's doing something and we can't make them stop. There's a lot of irritation and frustration in our nation. I mean, when's our government going to wake up, or when is our legislators going to wake up? And you get frustrated. You want to fix things. You want, you know, but it can get you into a wrong place too if you're not careful. We have to stay in a place of prayer so we can stay in a place of peace. And it's when we're in the place of peace that the God of peace will crush Satan under our feet quickly, shortly. It's just the way it works. So the Bible talks about be angry and sin not, don't let the sun go down in your wrath, neither give place to the devil. We give ground up to the enemy when we become angry. And we're not supposed to try to control people. That's witchcraft. You know. We're all to be subservient to the Lord Jesus Christ by yielding and being in submission to His Holy Spirit so that He can use us to do His bidding in this earth and in this world. And sometimes we can become impatient and presumptuous and just try to fix things and, you know, or become intimidating or try to be dominating. You know, it's like the preacher put in his notes, he said, weak point here, shout loud, you know. But you try to shout people down or intimidate. That, again, intimidation, domination, manipulation are all signs of witchcraft. The Holy Spirit, His fruit is love and joy and peace and gentleness and kindness and meekness and patience and self-control and those kind of things. Those are the fruits of Holy Spirit. So, it's so important that we press into the place of prayer, and the Holy Spirit will help us realize why we've lost our peace. What's really frustrating us? You know, is it something He said? Is it something she said? Is it something I didn't do that I know I should have done? Sometimes we're just frustrated ourselves. Lastly, and quickly, wade out deep into the Word and wash your frustration away with the truth. Paul talks in the book of Ephesians about the washing of the water of the Word. See, I mentioned prayer. I mentioned gratitude. Now I'm talking about God's Word. Those are three big weapons against frustration. God's Word is our sword. Listen to some scriptures. Think about frustrations. Hear these scriptures. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. 1 Peter 5, 7. I've already read Philippians 4, 6, and 7 about don't be anxious about anything, but by prayer and supplication and petition and so forth. Psalm 34, 18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and save those who are crushed in spirit, broken in spirit. Romans 12, 12, rejoice in hope, be patient in affliction, be faithful in prayer. Romans 37, 7, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Psalm 2 Corinthians 12, 9, My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Paul said, therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. And on and on and on the scripture goes. These are three scriptural ways to help us deal with our frustrations. Remember, gratitude. Pray until your peace comes. Be grateful. Pray until your peace comes. And then get in God's Word and get God's Word into you, and it'll wash that frustration away with the battering ram of truth, the hammer of truth. It'll break stuff off of you. The spirit of conviction will bring you, say, this is the problem. Repent of this. It's amazing how this works. He is faithful who called us. His Holy Spirit will lead us into righteousness. He will convict us of unrighteousness. And so these simple things will help us. So I'm going to ask our worship team to come. And while they're coming, let me give you just some practical. You know, I've shared these three sticks of, really, I call them spiritual dynamite. But here's some practical things to add to that for you to consider as they come. Maybe if you're really frustrated and still struggling, talk to a trusted friend or family member, somebody you can really trust. And sometimes we can vent with one another and kind of get it off our proverbial chest, so to speak, and confess our faults to one another, and we can be made whole by doing that. Like, I've been frustrated, and I know I'm wrong, and I just want to confess that to the Lord and confess that to you, and I want you to pray with me. It's amazing how that can work in our life if we'll just do that. Get some physical exercise. Let your body de-stress. You know, that spend some time in nature, tech-free. And just soak in God's goodness. It's amazing how that can help, just to get away from all those million voices and all those things pulling at you. And just take some, matter of fact, do some box breathing. You know, in, hold it, out, hold it. Do that over and over again. And calm yourself. May your whole body, spirit and soul, be preserved blameless. All part of you. You know, it's important that you do these things. And give yourself permission to enjoy your life. Don't see yourself bound to being frustrated all the time. Give yourself permission to take that walk, read that book, listen to some music, and just quieten your soul and get grounded. Maybe you need to set some realistic goals instead of some unrealistic goals. Maybe you're your own slave driver. You're really not being led by the Spirit. You've just heaped all this expectation on yourself, and you're doing things the Lord never led you, asked you, or wants you to do. Learn to say no. It's okay to say no. Sometimes it's the right thing to say no. Don't take things so personal. Sometimes people aren't meaning personally. They're just talking. Practice forgiving people. Be a good forgiver. Lay your resentments down. That alone is life-changing. I want you to stand with me. This altar's open tonight. I'm going to be dismissing you in just a moment. Wouldn't it be great if not a single one of us left the building tonight with any frustrations? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment? What's nibbling at you? What may be frustrating you? Now, begin to practice gratitude. Think of things you can thank God for around that frustration. Take a moment and do that. Ask the Holy Spirit, What's triggered this? What's the root of this? Is there something I need to repent of? Something I need to confess? Give me peace. Restore that peace of God in my heart, in my mind. Stand on a scripture tonight. Maybe the one we started with. I may be pressed in on every side, but I'm not crushed. I'm walking in victory. God's going to see me through this. I'm laying this down. It's not going to cut me down. I'm going to lay it down. I'm going to stand on God's word. Thank Him for being with you. Thank Him for His Holy Spirit to help you right now. Thank Him for the power of His word. Father, I thank You for my brothers and sisters that came out on this Wednesday night. They could have been doing 100 different things, but they chose to be here. And I ask that You would grace them with Your presence right now. I pray that You would bear witness with their hearts. Lord, that Your peace would just begin to guard hearts and minds in this room. And if You could just in Your imagination, if You could just roll those frustrations up into a ball right now, you could just do that and just cast it on the Lord. Just toss it aside. Just see it being thrown overboard and take you a deep breath and thank God that you've got victory. Thank God that He's with you. Thank God it's going to be all right. Thank God that He knows even if you don't. And just commit yourself to trusting Him. Lord, I trust You tonight. I'm committing myself to You. I'm receiving Your grace right now. In Jesus' name. We're going to have some prayer team members just to be at the front. If you need someone to pray with you, I encourage you to come up. But thank you for being here tonight. May God's grace be strong on your life tonight. Carry these 3 sticks of dynamite with you. Put them to work and let God help you with frustrations when they knock at your door. Amen. Thanks for being here. Hope to see you on Sunday. God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend. And if some of our folks, if you could come on up and just be here. If somebody needs prayer, please come up and we'll have people here to pray with you. God's blessings on you.